Hello there, this is Garrett Ben, and today is May 11th, 2019, and I am interviewing my grandpa, Bill Ben, and we are in his basement in West Deer. So the first question is, what was your childhood like?
My childhood like was very interesting. As a child, I liked to play a lot of sports and mainly baseball, and that's mostly what we had was baseball.
Yeah.
I lived in a small town, there was only a few kids there, and so we would play baseball from morning till night.
What town was it?
Town was Rural Ridge, Pennsylvania, a very small town outside of Pittsburgh. And I used to be the batter, and I would have one person pitch to me, and two of my friends would be in the outfield, run all day long.
You were only the batter? You didn't feel it?
That's all I did was bat.
How is that fair?
and to this day, the reason why I tell them, and they said, all you did was bat, and I did run. And I said, the reason we're still living is because you got all that exercise as a young person.
Yeah.
It seems like the lack of exercise today for a lot of young people.
So what else did you do as a child?
As a child, I used to ride my bike like every kid did, type of thing, and just hang out with my friends. We had a little shop in Rural Ridge, they called it a Nike shop. It was because at that time they had a Nike station. That's a guided missile. It's like guided missile stations, and they had a little place that sold hoagies. They called them the Nikes. For 50 cents, you bought a big hoagie, and it was a big hoagie. And they had a jukebox on the outside and would listen to music. And that was mainly what I'd be doing every day, playing ball and going down there and listening to the music.
Okay, what high school did you go to?
I graduated from Easter Fraser High School. That's in Creighton, Pennsylvania, in 1960.
1960. All right, and then at what age did you decide to go to the Navy?
I decided to go to the Navy when I was 18 years old.
Why'd you decide to go to the Navy?
Because I was unable to find a job, because at that time you had to have work experience. And I didn't work anywhere, so I had no experience. So I decided on joining the Navy because, again, at that time we were drafting young boys my age. And I figured, I didn't want to be in an Army or the Marines, so I figured I'd just join the Navy because I had relatives who were in the Navy. And I kind of enjoyed it.
So what was the Navy like?
Navy was kind of good in a way, except I would always get seasick. For 4 years, I was seasick because I spent most of my time at the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I enjoyed it. There was a lot of times I saw a lot of the world. I saw like Scotland and Germany. And
so what did you do with like Scotland and Germany?
Yeah, we just on liberty, more or less. Just
so like, what's a liberty?
Liberty is when you get time off from the ship. You just go on your own type of thing. And
so it's like a mini vacation.
Yeah, in a way, it's only for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But I was on a ship when I was on a radar picket ship that was involved with the Cuban Missile Crisis in October 1962. We was part of the blockade out there. And then from there, we went over to the North Atlantic, which is real rough water there, really rough water. And I had seasickness many times there. But like I said, we survived it and everything. And we'd go out to sea for like 30 days and just bob around in the ocean. And then our picket station when we was in the States was between Cuba and Key West. We'd sit out there in the middle of the ocean for like 30 days and just fish or something or whatever you wanted to do on a ship there, because we had to make contact with all the planes that were leaving Cuba. We'd have to make sure they were friend or foe type of thing. And the ocean out there at that point, you can see the bottom of the ocean. That's how the water is so still out in the middle of the ocean. And you can see all the barracudas and sharks and everything. And it was interesting there as a young person.
What kind of fish did you catch?
I didn't do no fishing on a ship.
You didn't? Other people did, though?
They did. I got movie pictures of them catching shark on a ship and barracudas and stuff like that.
So what kind of stuff did you do as you just, like, sat there?
No, I was a radio man.
So you're constantly...
I had watches. You had to go up to what they call it, a watch. That's like when you got to do your job. I was a radio man. I used to take messages, and, North Atlantic, we used to have, like I said, the water was rough and everything, and I was down into the bottom of the ship. That was combat, we called it, and I'd be on for 12 hours on and 12 hours off and just send a Morse code, that type of thing.
All right. And then what did you do when you got out of the Navy?
When I got out of the Navy, I got myself a job. My dad got me a job at the time working in a foundry with him. I did that for a year, and everybody was telling me, you got to get out of here, you get out of here. But I didn't mind it because I was a young man, and I was still strong at the time, and I kind of enjoyed it. And then my wife worked in a bank, and she was talking to somebody about doing any hiring at. There was a place called Liberty Mirror in Brackenridge. It's like a glass place, and everybody said they make better money there, and I ended up getting a job there and working 4 or 5 years. And then I decided to try to sell insurance because some friends of mine were doing that, and it was going to make a lot of money, and I fell into that trap. Yeah. And I wasn't making too much there, so I decided I'm going to the barber school under the GI Bill, which I did. I got
to learn. What was the GI Bill about?
That was why they paid so much money for your education, everything, if you was in the military.
Okay.
And I took advantage of that, and I ended up working at a barber shop in Fox Chapel for 4 or 5 years.
So what decided, what made you decide you wanted to, cut hair and become a barber?
Well, I had to eat, and that was paid so much money from the, with GI Bill and everything. They paid me for, in my internship, more or mm-hmm. less, type of thing, a few dollars and everything, and my wife was working in a bank, and trying to raise a family, and we did. It was we watched how we spent money and everything, and we didn't buy nothing on charger. And at that time, we didn't have charge cards or anything.
So credit cards.
It worked good. It worked out fine. And
how long did you cut hair?
I cut hair for about 5 years, and to this day, I still snip a few heads of hairs. No, just for the friends and that. Just as a favor, more or less, not as a way of making a living.
Yeah. So, what did you do after you, decided you weren't going to cut hair anymore? Did you get another job, or?
Yes, I got another job down at PPG. Somebody, my neighbor, was telling me that they needed a part-time person down at PPG Research Center in Springdale, Pennsylvania. And I said, yeah, I'll try that now, because it's supposed to be steady daylight. And as a barber, you don't have no benefits or nothing like that. Everything you pay out of your own pocket. You don't make that much money to begin with,
Yeah.
That's the only job I started at the top at, so.
What, being a barber?
Yeah.
So what'd you do at PPG?
At PPG, I was working in the shipping department. I worked there for 29 years. I ended up as a supervisor for, I forget how many years, supervisor, after mm-hmm. I was working in the shipping department. And I retired at the age of 61. I figured that was enough because I wanted to help raise and watch my grandchildren grow up.
How long did you work there?
29 years.
29 years?
But I had 3 grandkids, and I decided I'm going to more or less retire. My wife retired when she was 55 and from the bank after 30-some years, and I figured I'll just retire and we'll just watch the grandkids, which was enjoyable, watching them grow up in a 3, and then all of a sudden I went from 3 to 6 within a year or two.
It was 3 years.
Three,
4 years.
But it was enjoyable.
Yeah. And then, so when you were in your middle ages, while you're still working, and right after you got out of the Navy, what did you like to do?
When I first got out of the Navy?
Or just throughout your middle
while
ages.
While I was still working. Like I said, I watched my grandkids. And as I got older and the grandkids got older, they started getting involved in sports. So I started watching them participate in sports, which is very enjoyable too. To this day, I still do that.
That's right.
And what else was there to do?
Well, so you mentioned you played baseball as a child. Did you continue playing baseball or softball whenever you were in your middle ages?
Yeah, when I got out of service, I started playing softball, a couple of teams, and it was just for a fun type of thing.
Yep.
The local bars had teams, and then we got in leagues and went into leagues, and then I worked. Then I started in our hometown. It was called the Creighton Hose Fire Company was down there, and then we started a softball team, and it ended up where we ended up winning a section, and we got a chance to go to the state finals in York, PA. We went out to state finals, and behold it or not, we won a state championship in 1968.
How many games did you end up having to play?
We played 4 games only. Like I said, we
for
was...
For the state or
for the state
district?
Title. For the state title.
And how long was your season?
It's a few months, like the regular softball season is now.
So, like, how many games do you think?
I really don't know at this point.
Did you win them all?
Did we win them all?
Yes.
No, we didn't lose them all, though.
What position did you play?
I played second base and shortstop.
So you did play the field. You just didn't bat.
Oh, I batted.
Yeah, I know, but, like, you... Just like as your childhood.
Oh, my childhood.
All you did was bat.
My childhood, oh, yes, that's all I wanted to do was bat. And that's all I did.
So once you started playing softball, you realized you needed to field.
Well, I got a bat, too.
Yeah, but, like, you did both.
Of course, right. Yeah, at that time you did. They don't, you know, when you played softball and with your position, and everybody bats. Nowadays it's a little different. Sometimes they have pinch batters and pinch runners and everything else.
So during... Like, how far away was the state? Like, how far did you have to travel for the softball?
You mean, it was the local teams that we played.
So, but, like...
It wasn't far like it is now.
So, like, wherever you went to, like, states, like, how...
Was states. State was out of York, PA, which is... Yeah, I don't know how long it takes to York, PA, a couple of hours,
probably. So, like, it was just, like, district, so it was just, like, the surrounding area.
This district was around, and we played over... it was a place called Soco Camp over in Lowell Rural. And I don't know if that's still there or not, but that's what they used to have a league over there. Played a lot of leagues played out of the Soco Camp. And we was in one of the leagues that played over there.
And how long did you play on that softball team that won the state?
We had a softball team that won the state. We played for 1 year. That's all we had. We had a team for 1 year. We won the state, and that was it. We never had a team after that.
Did you play for other teams?
After that, yeah. Then I started a couple of teams. I went to those local bars and everything. I got them to sponsor softball teams, like the office in Creighton was one of them. Normantown Tavern was one of them. We called it Ichabogs at that time. That was the team we had. And Cozy Corners was a team that we had years ago. This was after we won a state in that. The same players, but we never had a team for Creighton Hose anymore. And then finally the hose company disbanded anyway. And there's only one fire company in East Deer now.
Yeah. Did you coach any teams while you were, like, in your middle ages?
I coached a little league team, a senior little league team.
Like, what age group?
It was probably from 12 to, what was it? I think it was, like, senior little league. I have no idea what is right. I think it was 12 to 15 or something like that.
So it's a lot different
than I had some, the movie The Bad News Bears, these kids were worse than the Bad News Bears. I never saw, you know, kids that didn't know how to play ball at all, which I didn't expect that to happen, but a couple knew how to play, but not too many. And then we had some girls that wanted to be on a team too. At that time, they didn't play, but they wanted to play with the boys, so we had to leave a couple girls on there. And it didn't work out too good that season. We'd travel from Creighton to Bedford Park up there and play, and you know, we'd play just our regular five run roll or 10 run roll, whatever it was.
Yeah, 10.
It wouldn't last two. Two or three innings, we'd travel all the way up there, and I used to take the couple kids up there that weren't real good players to begin with. And
how far is that?
It wasn't enjoyable.
That's what, not like, not 10 minutes. That's only like what, like 10 minutes from here.
That's probably, I'd say at least 15 minutes. Yeah.
Did you win a single game that year?
No. I don't know if we got a run that year.
Really?
I mean, it was pathetic. It wasn't a fun time. I don't know why I got involved in it, but I tried, and it was nothing I could do. These boys just never, I don't even know if they knew how to play baseball.
So what was, like, your favorite memory from coaching them?
Coaching them, my favorite memory was when the first kid was at first batting practice, these two brothers, I said, okay, your turn to bat, and he was the right-hand batter, so what's he do? He stands on the left-hand side of the plate instead of the right-hand side, and I said, this is going to be a long season.
So it was a long season.
And it was a long season. It wasn't enjoyable at all.
So having two kids, did you ever coach any of their teams, or did they not play?
I coached my one boy, right, the oldest boy, Scott. I coached him in Little League, yeah. And I coached the All-Star team when he was on, that was another experience.
Were they good?
They weren't bad. They weren't
were
bad.
They better than the team?
Oh, definitely. They knew how to play baseball.
Yeah.
You know, some of them kids down there, like I said, some knew how to play baseball. Not all of them were bad. And I got a picture of them, and you can see the picture of the team. You can see that they don't even look like baseball players. When I got back in.
So now that you're retired, what is your favorite thing to do?
Well, favorite thing to do is just my wife and I just more or less stick around the house and everything. We go make sure we attend church every week, which we do. Try to do that. And at times we like to
go. What church do you attend?
Holy Family.
Right down the street?
Right. Holy Family down the bottom of the hill.
Do you still clean there?
Catholic church.
Do you still clean?
No, I'm done cleaning it. I volunteered cleaning the church for 7 years, and a new priest got in and decided on they were going to pay somebody, which they didn't pay for 7 years, but I said, if they want to pay somebody, there's no sense me volunteering for
the church. I miss doing that.
Yeah, you missed it. You helped out, too, one time.
Yeah, I helped out a lot. Whenever we was in the summer, or was it just whenever I was, little?
And the bird was in it.
Do you remember catching that bird?
Yeah, bird was in a church.
How'd that get in there?
Somebody left the door open, obviously.
How'd we catch it?
Yeah. Well, how we caught it was it would go up to the choir loft, and I'd go up the choir loft, and then it'd go back down again. You was down there. It'd be a little choir loft. You're down into the church, it would go down there, and finally it got...
Was it the flags it got stuck in?
No, it was by the confessional. It was on the floor by the confessional. And I says, now, how are we going to get it? And he says, why don't you get them church baskets, really, the collection baskets, and put it over top of that, which is very smart on your part. And we did, and I said, how are you going to get it out here now? And he says, slide something underneath it, hold it in place, which it worked.
I don't remember all that. I just remember catching it.
Oh, that was a good idea, and it worked. We took it outside.
What all did we have to clean there?
I cleaned everything. The church, upstairs, the bathrooms. Run a sweeper.
I don't remember. What did I do? I don't even remember.
Never been around seeing what's in the church.
That's right.
The young kid, he was curious. You're it's a Catholic church, and see what was going on there. They had classrooms and everything up for the student.
I thought they locked them all.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah, most of them they were locked. But
because I always checked
the bathroom. You'd like to check the bathroom. Went downstairs and I'd be looking, and I'd run a sweeper, and I had you doing little things. But you helped out, which is good. Didn't do it every day though, but it was.
Whoa.
It was fine.
We only did it I was only there once every 2 months.
Yeah. Right. You like to do it though, which is good. And Tyler liked to do it. Your brother, which is good.
So what else do you do during your retirement?
Well, I still cut my grass at age 77 now, which I'm going to probably quit that pretty soon. I got a riding mower, which, I don't have that much grass, but I got enough. I got a riding mower, and the banks, I got a couple of banks. That's the only problem. And my neighbors, I got good neighbors. They help out with a lot of stuff. As far as in the wintertime, they get rid of the snow for me. And
yeah, you still don't.
And they did cut my grass, too, if I wanted them to, it's just, and I'd pay, but... They wouldn't even ask for nothing to begin with, but I it's good to have good neighbors. They're young fellows, and they got their own families and everything, which is nice too. They each got a couple kids apiece, and good neighbors.
So what else do you do?
Like I said, I like to go. My wife and I like to go to casinos every now and then, and we like to go to different casinos. We go
you travel.
We travel to different casinos.
Not
at
far, time. But
Well, we go to Niagara Falls. There's a casino out there. There's one at Salamanca.
Where's Salamanca?
It's called Salamanca. That's in New York.
New York, so you go to New York a lot?
Right. It takes about 4 hours. And we go to Willing Island. That's down in West Virginia. And that's, we don't go there to lose a lot of money to begin with. We enjoy it. We don't lose it. And times we win. We win more than we go with, and times we come back with less than we go with.
Yeah.
But it's entertainment. Like you spend it on anything else, and this is what we consider entertainment.
Yep.
We enjoy doing it.
So, a couple years ago, you had heart surgery. So, how'd you find out about that, and, what was that experience?
Well, when I'd be cutting grass, every now and then I'd get a little discomfort. No pain or nothing, a little discomfort in my upper, around my shoulder blades and everything.
So shoulder blades or one side?
I would hold back up top there. It was just
It was toothache?
Yeah, it was just a discomfort. It just didn't feel right. And I was just, like I said, I cut grass and everything, and I'm triggered. At that time I was 75 years old, 74, 75 years old, and I figured, That's part of it. Everybody told me that's age.
Yeah.
You're bound to get tired and everything at age.
Yeah.
So I went over to my doctor about something else, and he wasn't there, but the nurse practitioner was there.
Yeah.
And I told her about that, and she said, you know what, Dr. Showalter is going to probably have you go for a stress test. And I said, now, what's a stress test here? Well, I went out, and I bought myself a new pair of Skechers shoes because they're lightweight, and I figured, oh, this would be a great thing, you know.
Yeah.
When I go down there to St. Margaret's, and the fellow told me that, he said, you know, this was about a three-hour test. And I said, 3 hours? A treadmill? I'm going to be on a treadmill for 3 hours. He said, no. He said, I guess they get called a nuclear stress test or something. They inject you with fluids and everything.
So
and
it's then, like an IV?
It's an IV, but I think you monitor your heart movement. I don't even know how they do it. Anyway.
So, like, they monitor the way stuff, like, flows because of, like, the radioactive.
Well, they could tell by whatever they had there. He was...
Well, yeah, all the technology.
When I went in there and I got on a treadmill, it was a cardiologist or something was with a trainee, I think. And when I first started, he said, you see this? He said, this, that looks good.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, he said, oh, you see this? And I knew right away there was something wrong. And they said, how do you feel, Mr. Bennett? I said, I feel good. Why? What's wrong? They said, well, I think that's enough for now. It was about a minute I was on a treadmill. And
so it didn't take 3 hours?
No. No, yeah, I was still done. You had to go into a room after that, and you had to rest in there for about an hour or something. It took about 3 hours for the whole thing. It didn't matter that I didn't walk for... I wasn't going to walk for an hour on the treadmill anyway, even with the test. They just... They de-elevated it, supposedly, and they speed it up a little bit and just...
But they didn't.
Keep monitoring it. They didn't do it to me, because I didn't go that long.
Yeah.
But anyway, they said, you're probably going to have a catheterization. And I said, what's that? So I set an appointment with catheterization like on a Tuesday, and I went down to, they sent me to Presbyterian Hospital in Pittsburgh because they said if you have to have
for something. For this?
What's that?
For this?
For the catheterization, because they said if there is something there, they don't have ways of treating it down at St. Margaret's. That's why they had was.
So okay. So just continue.
Well, anyway, I went down there for that, and they, like I said, they prep you for that, and they catheterization, and the cardiologist come down, or surgeon come down, that's what he said. The cardiologist come down. He says, well, you got like 5 blockages there. And I said,
so after they did this test?
That's where the catheterization, they go through.
Yeah.
And they found out, they could see then that I had 5 blockages, and one of them was 100% blocked. And I said, that's amazing. I didn't feel nothing or anything. I didn't get no pain or something. They says, a lot of times the women don't normally get their heart things start. They get the pain in their back type of thing, where guys, you know. And he said, but some guys, like I had it, I didn't have the sharp pain or nothing.
You just had the pain in the back.
I didn't have pain. It was just...
Discomfort, yeah.
I called it discomfort. They used to call it pain, and I said, it wasn't pain. It wasn't...
It was more discomfort than it was.
It was discomfort. And I thought, I get nervous and scared. And that's what I told when I was on a treadmill. I said, does it have anything to do because I'm nervous? And they said, it's some to do with it, but you got a problem there. Well, it ended up where I was on a Tuesday, and I had that done, and it says about... normally it takes months to get the surgery.
Yeah, because I know our other grandma had it, and she told us in November that she was going to have it, and it was like December, whatever she did.
Right, but see, now this, fortunately for me, was that they had a doctor that had a cancellation on the surgery, and he could do this was on two. He could do it on a Thursday, which is 2 days.
So did you stay in?
So they suggested that I stay there. Other than that, I got to go back the next day and take tests on that anyway, which there's a lot of tests you take before you have surgery to begin with. And so I ended up having a surgery. I was in intensive care for like 1 day. And then from there, I was up into the room. And within 4 days, I was home then. And then a nurse would come every week and take blood and do stuff like that. And every daytime, she'd say, you know, it's good. And then they started me walking just in a house, you know.
Yeah.
You know, walk for 15 minutes or 10 minutes. And walk in a house for half hours. That's
like in here?
Upstairs, and that's like going from bedroom to bedroom to bathroom to kitchen to, you know, get for half hour. That's a lot of walking you could do in a half hour.
Yeah.
But I had to build up my, and I told him I could walk at the mall or loop by the mall, and they said I'd rather me not do that because at that time I could, if there's people there, I could maybe get an infection or something like that. Catch something, which was no good. And I told him there's not too many people go to the mall anyway over there. So
how long were you in the hospital? Like, after your surgery.
After my surgery, Thursday, yes. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, my 4 days.
4 days. Like, what was your experience like in there?
Experience?
Besides that one lady.
When I was in intensive care, there was a young nurse took care of me, like, you know, I'm just coming out of that, and I was in it for like 24 hours or something like that. And it was like an angel. She made me feel so relaxed and everything, you know. And mm-hmm. Then once I got out of there, they put me to the second, another floor or something like that. As soon as I got there, it was a disaster. It was just, everything was, you know, they were supposed to give me an IV, a catheterization. I forget what they said they was doing, but everything was just not good at all.
So I know there's
food was no good to begin with. And everything was...
What kind of, like, food did they
eat? It was no good. I don't even know. I couldn't even know what I eat because I didn't eat too much of the food to begin with. It was no good. I had bad experiences there. But like I said, the first 24 hours down there, it was... That's why I told the girl she was like an angel because I just felt so relaxed. And everything changed from there once I went up. And even the people serving the food and that, you got young trainees and that, they're not too compassionate.
No. So
my wife had to talk to him a few times about, you know, she's my husband's here for surgery. He never had bypass surgery before, and there's no reason to be treating people like this, which some of the nurses got a little heck for that from her supervisor, which we didn't want to complain, but we had no choice but to complain.
Because they were just, like, rude.
They were rude. They were just not helping you. They wouldn't, what we see on TV all the time, and the nurses are so nice. And there's a lot of nice nurses, but there's still, like anything else, they're still out there, which... Everybody can't be perfect.
Yeah. So, like, after you came back, how did, like, your life change from that?
You mean after, like, after surgery?
Yeah, like, how was the recovery road, I guess you could say?
I thought I did very good. I was kind of proud of myself. Even a nurse, when she'd come, she says, I can't believe it. I didn't take no
pain. So a nurse would, like, come here?
Once a week, she'd come and draw blood, you know, check my... blood pressure and all this stuff like that. And then she asked me about my pain pills, and I said, well, I don't take pain pills.
She said, you didn't take any?
I didn't take any pain pills. She said, you didn't take no pain pills? I said, I didn't have no pain. And I was telling her about, you know, a little soreness in my chest and stuff like
that. Yeah, that's from them, like, cracking your ribs.
Yeah, she said, that's what you call pain. I said, but it's not enough to take pills. I said, I didn't feel bad about it. I still got little pinches here and there, you know, but it's not... And I, like I said, I walk now. I walk, try to walk maybe a couple of miles 3 or 4 times a week over the mall. And I don't have a shortness of breath or nothing, so I, you know.
But like you did?
I'm tired at times because it's just, I'm 77 years old too.
Yeah.
I'm not as active as I used to be.
So like how did your diet change whenever you...
It didn't change too much. I still eat. I try to watch what I eat at times.
But like did it have to change for like a short period?
No, they didn't. I didn't have to change my diet or nothing. No. Nothing changed.
It's like everything's okay now. Like, you're just doing the same stuff you did before?
Basically, yeah. Not as much.
Well, yeah.
Like golfing and stuff like that. I don't go golfing.
How often did you used to golf?
I didn't golf that much anyway. I golf, I don't know, maybe 10 times a year or something like that. I'm limited to... I don't even know. I didn't go any time this year so far.
Yeah. Wait, was that last year?
Yeah, we went.
Was that last year then, whenever my dad hurt himself?
Golf? Yeah.
That was last year?
It was last year, yeah.
That wasn't this year?
No, that was last year. No, he just did it last year.
So what is everyday life like for you now?
Everyday life?
Yes.
I wake up in the morning, I say my prayers. That's the first thing I say in the morning.
So you pray every morning?
Every morning, every night, sometimes during the day, even just thanking the Lord for the good things that I have.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good things you have, but you got to be thankful for them, though.
Yeah.
And don't wait till something happens before you start reaching for God.
Yeah.
Like I said before, God don't give you everything you ask for, but He'll give you everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in that.
So after you do that, what do?
I get up, make breakfast, put the coffee on every morning. I get up before my wife does all the time.
Like what time?
I get up normally at 7 o'clock. I'm out of bed. I get up sometimes before that, about 6. But yeah. I try to get out of bed around 7 o'clock because I don't want to wake her up. She goes to bed later than I do. I go to bed 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Or she goes to bed like, what's the news and everything?
Well, it's 9 o'clock now, so we better hurry up.
Exactly right. I'm missing some good sleep.
All right. And then, so after you get up, what do you do?
After I get up, I take a shower, naturally. From there, then I go over to the mall, do a little walking.
So do you walk every day?
If I can.
If you can.
And one day, one day we may go down to the casino for a couple of hours or something like that. But other than that, that's basically it. You watch a little television and...
What's your favorite show to watch?
I watched the
or
news.
Or do you just watch the news? I watch sports.
Normally the news. And if there's a sporting thing going on, like the Pirates, if there are... Which is not really.
They won today. Don't worry. They won 2-1.
It was yesterday.
They won today. They played earlier.
They win today too.
Yep. They won 2-1.
They won yesterday 2-1 too.
Did they?
You recording it?
Yes, I'm recording that.
You shouldn't do that.
Doesn't matter. It's still a conversation.
That's exactly right. You're right.
That's all that this.
They won again too. That's good then.
Yeah. So then. So like you said. So, like, what do you normally eat in the morning?
Eat in the morning. Well, I'm on this rice cake kick. I've been doing that for probably a year now. That's the easiest thing to make. Right. I just
you
take,
eat rice cakes every morning?
Not every morning. Just about every morning. I'll get a rice cake and I put peanut butter on it. A lot of peanut butter on it. I have that. I have my orange juice. I have prunes and a banana. Every day I had a banana and four or five prunes.
So you're eating four or five plums.
Prunes.
Yeah, but a prune is just a plum.
Well.
It's a whole plum without the seed and dried.
Well, that's what I'm eating. Yeah, right. They're called prunes, though. I eat the prunes.
But it's just a dried plum.
Right. But I, like I said, four or five of them to try to get some fiber. And I also got vitamin pills that I take. I got a couple pills I take in the morning. Not that many pills, but I got a few, mostly vitamin pills I take.
Yeah.
And I take some flax seed and some chia seeds. I mix that with water or juice in the morning. I take that every morning. Eat the banana, like I said. And then I'll have a rice cake if I don't want to make anything else. Every now and then I'll make some eggs or my wife will make some eggs for me. And we have that. And probably I have also cereal.
Cereal. What's your favorite kind of cereal?
Whatever kind is in there. We got three different kinds in the cupboard all the time. So whatever I had today. I had puff rice. So
puff rice. So yeah, like,
I didn't eat rice.
So like Rice Krispies. is that like the same?
Rice Krispies. No.
And like puff rice now.
No. Rice Krispies. Okay. Yeah, puff rice and puff wheat. They're just like little. I don't know. They're softer than Rice Krispies. Are just real.
Yeah.
Snap, crackle, and pop things.
Yeah. So. What is your favorite sport to watch?
Right now, it's probably baseball because of the season. But I really got involved in hockey the last couple of years. But this year was a big disappointment for the hockey fans in Pittsburgh. So
sorry about that.
I backed off of that. But football, I love to watch football.
College or NFL?
College is. I like to watch college. Yeah, Pitt and Penn State normally. That's my favorite to watch.
But you'll watch like any game?
I don't know. I don't normally watch any game. No, I don't do that. I try to watch the local team, like I said, Pitt and Penn State. Try to do that. Steelers.
Yeah. So what is your favorite memory of your grandkids?
Boy, I got a lot of them. I can't list them all down.
Well,
right
just
now.
Keep on going.
Favorite memory of grandkids.
Yeah.
Just watching them grow up was just, it's something. It's a real good experience. You know, you go through it, you go through it. And it's, like I said, I watched them grow up. We try to, I was a nervous wreck there a lot of times because I tried to make sure nobody got hurt, and which they didn't. I didn't want nobody to get hurt on my watch.
Hurt. We're good.
I never we're got hurt. We're good. And yeah, you just were. You were good kids. I try to keep you active doing things and
going outside and playing pepper all the time.
Play pepper ball, that's right. And you did, but your brother didn't. And I remember one time he was hitting, you wanted to hit a golf ball in the backyard, and I said, I give you my club, and you swung it, and it flew out of your hand and on my roof, which was not a good place to put it.
Yep.
And thankfully, it didn't land on a neighbor's roof or their window.
So, what was like another memory? that you have with all your grandchildren?
All your grandchildren. We used to play a lot of games out there, which we had a book that you search for items in these books.
Really?
You remember that?
No.
No?
Not at all.
There'd be certain
items. Oh, wait, the...
There are all kind of different items in there.
Like
out. You have to find out where they're at in this book type of thing.
I remember doing the... What was it? Hat pin? Clothespin or something? Do you remember that? And you'd get it. It was like a magazine or something, and you'd have to find the pin. The black pin.
Oh, yeah. That was an old magazine from years back. That was something like that.
Yeah.
And there was a hat pin that was in through the magazine.
Yeah.
And we'd be looking for that. Sometimes it was hard to find, and sometimes...
Was it like just on a page, or was it... Now, on any page.
It was on any page. You'd have to find it with the hat pin.
Tyler would always find them.
Yeah, he would always find that. We had, like I said, we had them books there. Was all kind of items on there, and you'd have to find, like, where is the horn, where is the bugle or banjo or something like that.
And then you'd color it in?
No, you just find it where it is. It was all mixed in with different things. And you'd have to find out where they're... It was very interesting. It got you to search for stuff and then...
I kind of remember. Oh, wait. I do remember those.
Right.
Because it was like a random picture. Was it I Spies?
Something like that.
Or was it...
It could be something like that.
I think it might have been like the I Spy books.
But there was things in there you had to find. They were hidden in different places.
Yeah, then we'd sit right here and you'd grab your magnifying glass.
There you go.
Do you still have that?
Oh, yeah. Big magnifying glass. Yeah.
Yeah.
I use that now.
For what?
One of the magazines we get, there's things under, there's three things hidden type of thing.
So it was kind of like...
No, what's different from the one picture to the
three pictures?
Next. Yeah, one so picture you still... to the next. Then I got the magnifying glass, because sometimes I can't find it. One time, I can find it when I get with the magnifying glass.
So, like they still make those?
Yeah, magazines.
So you do that now?
Right.
So that's what you like to do?
I don't like to do, but
do you read
the
newspaper?
Every day. I get the newspaper every morning. I get the news. That's another thing I do in the morning, right?
You get the newspaper.
Right.
And then get the mail and look through. So then, like, the next day, do they tell you the answers to find a difference in three?
No, that's in different magazines. There's different magazines that Mimi buys.
Okay, so she, like, buys the magazines.
She buys the magazines, yeah. The Hollywood magazines, or whatever they're called. They're junk magazines, in my opinion. But
do you read them?
Every now and then. There's nothing.
So they aren't.
It's
junk.
All about the Hollywood, the nonsense Hollywood people.
Is it the People's Magazine?
You could call it that. The Inquirer magazine. It's called Philadelphia Inquirer. You know nothing about that.
No, I don't. No, I don't read magazines.
You're just magazines.
I don't have time to read.
That's exactly right. No, you don't.
I don't. I'm too busy. So, like, what do you like? Like, what's your... So, like, what's another memory, then? Like, with, like, my brothers and my brother and my sister.
Another memory?
Well, besides him almost breaking his neck.
Oh, there on the couch, yeah. I don't know what happened there. He was trying to... I don't know what he was trying
flip
to do.
Flip over top of it or something.
He was trying to flip over the top of the couch or something, like, and didn't work out too good. Fortunately, we caught him.
Did he flip, or did he...
I don't know what he was doing. He was on the back of the couch, and he went, I don't know, he was trying to flip over because he saw Emily or something.
Emily was doing it.
Yep, gymnastics. He thought he could do that stuff, too, but he wasn't too agile at it.
His chubbiness wasn't doing it.
No, it didn't work too good, but he got other assets, which is good.
The brains.
He got brains, which is very good.
Yeah.
And he uses them, too, which is very good.
So do you like to hunt and fish?
I never liked hunting.
You never liked hunting. Did you hunt?
I hunted when I was a kid, and I was I don't think I was good in the woods with a gun, so I figured I better not hunt anymore. It would just, I get too shook up, and, you know, you got to be, use your head in it when you're hunting.
Yeah.
And I never hunted. I never got real training in hunting to begin with because my dad didn't hunt too much. And then I'd go out when I was younger. We was like allowed to go out in the woods by yourself when you was, I don't know, 16 or something.
Well, yeah, I'm able to go out
and
by myself.
And I'd go with my friends and everything. And we would just more or less goof around instead of actually hunting, which is not a smart thing to do. But I never did like hunting, you know. Fishing, I used to love to fish, and then I just, as I got older, once I got my senior license, now I could go fishing anytime. I don't like to fish now, so I don't know.
Because of all the snags, the bird's nest you get in.
Well, that's part of the problem, yeah. And you got to waste time putting another hook on. I don't like to go through. That's why I like them big hooks we used to use. I might still bit them if I fish again. There's no need to put a real small
hook. What's wrong with the hooks we use?
They're too hard to put on.
Everyone else uses smaller hooks. We use big hooks compared to everyone else.
I'm going
to
get real big ones.
All right, so that's all the time we have for today. So once again, it is May 11th, 2019, and I'm interviewing my grandpa, Bill Benn, and the time is 9:21. Thank you.
Very good. I think it worked out okay. We covered everything.